But my topic is, people work to survive and succeed, and along with that is, we should too. Not just that people do, but we should too. John 6, 26 and 27 says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He's talking to the people that had followed him just because he had given them miraculous food. He says, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Well, reading those verses, it sounds to me the opposite of what I'm supposed to talk about this morning, is that, and that is that we shouldn't be worried about the food that we eat physically, but we should be working for something else. But I'm going to go about it another way and try and prove that we do need to work for that too. But that isn't why we follow Jesus, and that's why those people were following Jesus. They wanted some more of that food. They wanted some more of the miraculous food. During our VBS here the last few weeks, we've had a Thursday night VBS, and we've been studying one animal or group of animals each night and then applying that to us. Today I'm not going to do animals, I'm going to do people and then apply what those people did to what we should do. And I'm going to try and help have you guess who these people are by the things I say or by pictures that you might see. As soon as you know who this person is, raise your hand and I'll call on you, or I'll hopefully call on you. This girl was born in Tuscumbia, Alabama, June 27th, 1880. What were the directions, everybody? What were the directions, Matt?
Raise your hand.
And then I call him. Who knows the answer? Matt?
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller. I gave you a tough one to figure out. Why would anybody know about Helen Keller? There's several reasons why. I'll go about the clues that I was going to give you to see if you could figure it out. She was a wild and unruly child. She was a wild and unruly child. In March 1887, she met Annie Sullivan. And this is what Helen would always call the most important day that she could remember. When she was 13 years old, that was when she was 7 years old, so never mind about that. When she, in 1900, she entered Radcliffe College. And you might think that's, no big deal, people go to college, but first of all, in 1900, not everybody went to college. Women didn't always go to college, and deaf and blind people, very many of them went to college. None of them had graduated from college. She graduated with honors in 1904, 4 years later. She became a writer. She had two movies written about her. One of them was called The Unconquered, and then later changed the name to her name, to Helen, the Helen Keller story. And also The Miracle Worker. She died in 1968, so not too many years ago for some of us that have been alive for a while. She was born a normal child, but then when she was either 18 or 19 months old, she had a disease that struck her with what? Blindness and deafness. That she lost two of her five senses. Now, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that would be hard at 18 or 19 months for me to have ever learned enough to where I could go to college, graduate from college with honors, become a writer, and a world traveler. I don't think I could do that. Left her deaf, blind, and of course mute because she couldn't hear, so she couldn't talk. Until she was 7, there was no way for her to be taught. No one could get through to her. How could you teach somebody that can't hear you and can't see you? That was when she met this lady that I said was Annie Sullivan. And the way that she would teach her was she would write on her hand. And she would let her feel something and then write that on her hand. And she'd teach her words that way. It took her a while to realize that she was learning words. Says she quickly learned to read by the Braille system, and to write by means of a specially constructed typewriter. In 1890, which would have been 10 years old, she learned to speak only after 1 month of instruction. 10 years later is when she got to Radcliffe College, from which she graduated with honors. She became the first deaf-blind person to graduate from college. While still at Radcliffe, Helen Keller began the writing career, which was to continue for 50 years. In addition to The Story of My Life, which is the name of the book, she wrote 11 other books and numerous articles on blindness, deafness, social issues, and women's rights. This is a woman that had handicaps that you would figure she would go on welfare, if welfare were around at that time. She would have somebody else take care of her, but instead she becomes an author. And it says, from her youth, she was always willing to help others by appearing before legislatures, giving lectures, writing articles, and above all, by her own example of what a severely handicapped person can accomplish. She served on the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. Throughout her life, she worked and raised funds for the American Foundation for the Blind. And she traveled and lectured in many countries, including England, France, Italy, Egypt, South America, and South Africa, and many others. She was also a pacifist and was active in socialist causes. After World War II, she visited wounded veterans in American hospitals and lectured in Europe on behalf of the physically handicapped. I'm going to skip a bunch of this. She did all sorts of things, but the basic thing she did was give of herself to help those, to help others. And she looked at it as helping others that were less fortunate than she was. And I guess maybe because she had the ability to learn even above her handicaps. During her lifetime, Helen Keller received awards of great distinction, too numerous to fully recount. An entire room called the Helen Keller Room is devoted to her display at the American Foundation for the Blind in New York City. Some of these awards are Brazil's Order of the Southern Cross, Japan's Sacred Treasure, the Philippines' Golden Heart, Lebanon's Gold Medal of Merit. So she's not just well known here, but everywhere else she goes. And if you find things that are going on for the blind in other countries, it's usually because she started it. She helped start it. And then her own country's highest honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 1955, when she was 75 years old, she embarked on one of her longest and most grueling journeys, a 40,000-mile, five-month-long tour. That's her when she was about 75. She went all the way through Asia, and she doesn't do this for the fun of it. She does this to help others. Wherever she traveled, she brought new courage to millions of blind people, and many of the efforts to improve conditions among the blind abroad can be traced directly to her visits. Her favorite books were the Bible and poetry and philosophy. She was quite a woman, and I want to read what was said Senator Lister Hill. At her funeral. She will live on, one of the few immortal names not born to die. Her spirit will endure as long as man can read and stories can be told of the woman who showed the world that there are no boundaries to courage and faith. So don't let stuff get in your way. If you see somebody that's blind and deaf able to do what she was able to do, we should be able to do quite a bit more. Who said this? I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Laura. Paul the Apostle, did he have any handicaps? He was a handicapped person in some way. We don't know exactly how, but enough so that he asked the Lord 3 times to have it taken away. That's a possibility. There are lots of lots of theories on what he had, what Paul had, and I don't know for sure. I don't know if anybody knows for sure. But whatever it was something that hindered him. And yet, what did God say his handicap was good for? David?
Grace is sufficient to me. I think you're pointing out that it is a good thing because you are showing strength through weakness.
My strength is shown through your weakness. Laura, then Ronnie.
Didn't he regard it as a mark of his identification with Christ?
I think so. Ronnie?
He said that was lest he be lifted up.
Okay. Because he had a lot of other talents and a lot of things to do. He didn't need to be lifted up. Who's this man? Born June 30th, 1938, Pine Ridge, South Dakota. What's that?
Cesar Chavez.
Nope. Currently lives in Fair Oaks, California. Went to the University of Kansas.
Oh, he's an Indian.
He's part Sioux Indian. Won the gold medal in the men's 10,000 meters in the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. Dwayne, has it come to you yet?
I can't remember his name, but I know who he is.
His name's Billy.
Billy Hill, right?
Billy Mills.
Mills.
Billy Mills. Better than I would have done. Billy was raised in Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, South Dakota, and it's still a place, and it was in it at that time, a place of abject poverty, a place where hopes and dreams seldom come true. At the age of 12, he was orphaned. Because he was part Indian and part white, he was rejected by the whites and by the Indians, wasn't treated well. So he got out and he would just run. That's the way he got away from things. And he found that he was able to run well, so well that he was going to make it to the Olympics. But even the U.S. track and field people didn't know him well enough to give him shoes, which is what they normally do. They give the best runners the shoes. Well, they didn't do that, so he had to borrow some shoes. He ran, and he predicted he was going to make a gold medal. And I already said he did make the gold medal. He made it. He predicted his time almost to the second, and it was 46 seconds faster than he had ever run. I don't know how he could predict that time and almost hit it. But he did it with extra effort, knowing that he had to put in the effort to do it. And his life didn't stop there. The reason that he is remembered by some people is because of his work afterwards, and it's mostly for the Indians, just like Helen Keller's work was mostly for the blind. Billy travels through the country to inspire Indian youth with his powerful motivational message, explaining we all need to belong. He teaches them how to pursue their dreams. If you have a dream, he wants you to pursue it. He listens to their stories and provides inspiration. And I'm going to stop there with his because my main goal is to get done in 20 minutes. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. He could have just caused trouble because he was an orphan at 12. But instead, he made it his business to go out and become a good runner. Just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. He was born September 9th, 1890 in Henryville, Indiana. Who do you know? Who's that? When he was 6, his father died. At age 10, he got his first job on a nearby farm for $2 a day, or for $2 a month. Mm-hmm. Quit school in 7th grade. David knows, so I can't have him guess. Now you know. At age 15, he worked as a... Yes, Matt.
It's not Thomas Edison, is it?
No. Cindy.
It's not Henry Ford, is it?
No. At age 16, he spent 6 months in Cuba as a soldier. He opened a cafe in the rear of the station in 1929. He had white hair and a goatee. John. He is known for 11 herbs and spices. He died of leukemia near Shelby, Kentucky in 1980, at the age of 90 years old. Sanders Cafe, hopefully you can't read the Sanders part because that was not supposed to be able to see. And somewhere in there comes KFC. Well, we're not going to get to talk much about him, but you got the gist of it. He was, the idea of when he got started was not really back there when he got that first restaurant in the back of a service station. Because he had a restaurant going, and then it said in the 1950s, a new interstate highway was planned to bypass the town of Corbin, where his restaurant was. Seeing an end to his business, the colonel auctioned off his operations, and after paying the bills, he was reduced to living on $105 Social Security checks. And I assumed that that was a month, $105. So he was 65 years old, ready to retire, you would think, but that's when he started KFC. So when you think that you're all washed up, you think you're done with your work, maybe it's time to start. And I will just bypass that for John's sake. And he who has been stealing must steal no longer, and I don't know that any of those guys ever did, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. They might have something to share with those in need. There's a big reason to work, and it's not just for yourself, to be able to share. A quote that I found that Helen Keller said, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble." I don't know that she ever did what you would consider a great and noble task. She just all the time was doing other tasks as well as she could, and she was the only one that could do them. Another quote I found somewhere, I don't remember where, "Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal." Take your eyes off the goal, you're going to see the obstacles. None of those three people that I brought out today saw the obstacles. They saw the goal. And this was on here before David ever put his thing on it. So he told me he was going to put his license plate on there. But anyway, that's the license plate of the van of the one who gave me this topic. And then we'll turn it over to John.